Hey guys, and welcome back to the Salt Not Sweetener podcast. I am your host, Danielle Townsend, and this is episode 24. And this episode is going to be about rebellion. And I have felt the Lord heavily place this topic on my heart today. You know, this past week, God has really been giving me opportunities to share my testimony. And Thursday night, I was really overwhelmed, y'all. And I was just taking a country drive to pray to the Lord and just trying to like sort out my feelings. And on this country drive, I passed by a church that was having an evening service. And I felt the Lord put it on my heart to go to that church service. And I did. And it was a wonderful service, and the Lord really spoke to me through that service. And it was a really small group. It was like 15 people, and I was actually invited to go out and eat dinner with them afterwards. And when I did, I had a really good conversation, and I was telling these people about, we were just talking about God and how good He was, and I was sharing with them some testimonies of things that He did in my life. And somehow the conversation landed on our favorite scriptures. And for me, it was the book of Jonah and the story of Jonah. And, when I said that, I got some really quizzical looks. And I was like, yeah, I know that's not everybody's first. It's kind of a unique one. But I told them of how I related to Jonah and my period of rebellion and rebelling against the Lord. And I told them about how heavily I related to the book of Jeremiah and how I truly, for a time in my life, rebelled. I left the Lord. I turned my back on the Lord. I thought I was just turning my back on the church and turning my back on religion, but I was turning my back on Jesus Christ. And I had turned my back on the covenants and the promises that I had made with God, and I had lived in active rebellion. And I was sharing with them about how I suffered because of that, but also how the Lord redeemed me. And that was just a real opportunity to share my testimonies. And I sat down today to start reading some scripture, and recently I've been feeling called to read the book of Ezekiel. And around the time when I gave my life to Christ was the time when I was reading the book of Ezekiel. You know, y'all, I've shared on here before, when I gave my life to Christ, I was deep in New Age spirituality, I was deep in divination, I was deep in witchcraft, I was in all of those things. And reading the book of Ezekiel, specifically like chapters 13 and on, was really convicting for me. Because it was spelled out for me in scripture of how sinful my life was and how God is not for that and how God does not support that. And, we see in the beginning of the book of Ezekiel where Ezekiel is having visions, and one of them is an angel. And I've shared in a podcast episode a couple episodes back in my time of turning my back on the Lord, how when I was in a meditation in New Age, and I believe that I spoke to an angel. There was a vision of an angel, all of these eyeballs, a very biblically, the same way it is described in the book of Ezekiel, is the same thing I experienced. And after that, I went through a season where I truly felt like I lost favor with the Lord. You know, in that meditation, in that vision, I had told that angel that I was open to other deities and open to other spiritualities and just exploring. In short, I was turning my back on the Lord and I was pursuing false gods and false idols, and I was uplifting myself and putting myself first. And I'm here to tell y'all today about what that rebellion did in my life, also about how God is graceful and merciful, and He can and will restore you. But this podcast episode today, I really feel, is more of a warning to those who are in active rebellion. And this is also a redemption to those who are trying to come back to the Lord after a time period of rebellion. But I really feel today that the Lord is sending me to speak to people who are in rebellion, who are rebelling against the Lord. And He has already made it very clear to me that not everybody is going to have ears to hear this message. And I'm going to read you some scripture that the Lord guided me to in just a moment. But He's already made it very clear to me that not everybody is going to receive this well. Not everybody is going to have eyes to see, is going to have ears to hear. There are going to be some people who still choose active rebellion, but He is sending me anyway. And I'm not unique in this. The Lord wants us to create disciples. That is our responsibility as followers of Christ, is to share the gospel, to spread the gospel, to tell people about the Lord, to create disciples. It's not just the pastor's job. All of us who have encountered Jesus, all of us who have experienced the love of the Lord, the grace, the mercy, are supposed to be sharing that with others and helping lead other people to Jesus Christ, planting seeds. So this isn't like some unique thing. All of us should be doing this. But I've really felt the Lord give me a clear understanding of who I am supposed to be target audiencing today in this message, and who my testimonies are really meant to be used on right now at this time. Because God will take all of our past mistakes and mess ups and experiences and turn them into powerful testimonies that show the goodness of God. Y'all, even in my rebellion, even in all my suffering, I am able to look back and see how the Lord was a light and how He used it all for my good. So I'm going to read to y'all what the Lord guided me to this morning. Ezekiel's call, chapter 2 in the book of Ezekiel. He said to me, "Son of man, stand on your feet and I will speak with you." And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And I heard him speaking to me, and he said to me, "Son of man, I send you to the people of Israel, to nations of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants are also impudent and stubborn. I send you to them, and you shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God,' and whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, be not afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns are with you, and you sit on scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house. And you shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or refuse to hear, but they are a rebellious house. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Be not rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you." And when I looked, behold, a hand was stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was in it. And he spread it before me, and it had writing on the front and on the back. And there were written on words of lamentation and mourning and woe. And that was what I read this morning, where I felt the Lord guiding me. So today, in listening to this, that God is trying to speak to you, whether or not you soften your heart. And it is in the character of the Heavenly Father to send His children, to send people to speak on His behalf to groups, knowing that not everybody is going to listen, knowing that not everybody is going to want to hear. But understand that God is such a loving Father that He loves you and wants to see you repent so much that He will send people to you, knowing that you're still going to try to reject them. Y'all, I cannot tell you how many times I look back in my rebellious time period in my life and realize that God was sending me people, and God was sending words, and God was trying to get through to me. But I had hardened my heart, and I had refused to see it. And that right there is a testimony in itself of how good God is, how I'm able to look back and being like, wow, even though I was actively in divination, I was actively in witchcraft, I was actively in sexual immorality, I was in idolatry, I was in all of these things, and God was still sending people to me. He still wanted me to turn back to Him. That is how good He is. I want to remind y'all today about the story of Jonah. Jonah knew that God was forgiving. Jonah knew that God was merciful. Jonah knew that God was all powerful. And when God called Jonah to go to Nineveh and to preach repentance to the Ninevites, Jonah didn't want to go. Now, I've done some historical looking into the Ninevites, and I guess the Ninevites were a scary group of people. They weren't above sacrificing and a lot of violence. They worshipped a fish god. They weren't really a group of people that you'd want to come up to and say, "Hey, you're wrong." But the more I look into that story, and the more that I read different biblical scholars' perspectives on it, because I've looked a lot, I've heard a lot of different perspectives with the book of Jonah. I guess too, Jonah already understood that God was in the business of forgiveness and of giving people second chances and of not immediately condemning or immediately striking down. And a partial reason Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh was because he was like, "Watch, I'm going to go and tell them that destruction's coming and you're going to forgive them. There's no point in going. I know you're a forgiving God. I know you're going to forgive them." And that's actually stated more near the end of the book of Jonah, when for that time period, the Lord spares the Ninevites because they repent. We do know later on in scripture that the Ninevites do get got for a little while. They do see the wrath of the Lord because they turn back to their ways. We know that repentant is a change of heart. It's not just feeling guilt or just feeling sorrow. And these people did eventually turn back to their ways. But in that time period, we do see that Jonah says to the Lord in prayer, he's like, "I knew this was going to happen. I knew I was going to declare that you were about to take them out and that you would forgive them." And Jonah was getting really upset and petty, and God had to, kind of teach him. And he used a leaf that was giving shade and then taking that away, and just he went through and really kind of revealed Jonah's heart to himself. The way that we respond to the way God moves and works really tells us a lot about ourselves. And that was a really revealing time for Jonah. But we see that God called Jonah saying, "Hey, go preach to these people. Go tell these people that I'm about to destroy them. They need to repent." And Jonah said, "No, I'm going to do my own thing." And what Jonah did is he went and he got on a boat and tried to sail off to the other side of the world. Like he started running away from God's calling. He said no to God and started running in the other direction. And he got other people involved. He was getting on other people's boats. And it was when he was sleeping at the bottom of the boat that the storm started going crazy. And the people on the boat were freaking out, thinking like, "Dude, we're gonna die." And they were like trying, they were trying to figure out who angered, because you gotta keep in mind, these people on the boat, these weren't all people that were followers of the Lord God. Some of these people were pagans. They had their other gods. They had their other beliefs going on, right? So they were trying to figure out like the spiritual side of this, like who's mad right now? Why is this happening? And they started casting lots, and they recognized that it was Jonah's fault. And they started asking Jonah, like, "Who are you? What's going on?" And Jonah was like, "All right, I'm gonna be real with y'all. I follow God. I'm a follower of the Heavenly Father, and I disobeyed him. So yeah, there's a storm going on right now because he's mad that I'm running away. I've angered the Lord." And they actually at first try to keep Jonah on the boat and try to save him, because they're like, "Well, what do we do?" He was like, "I'm gonna be real with y'all. Throw me in the water." Like, he was like, "If you want to please the situation, toss me off the boat." And at first they didn't do that. They helped him get away further. They kept him on the boat and they were trying to do their thing to keep getting away. But eventually the storm got so crazy that they were like, "Okay, we got to throw him in the water." And they threw Jonah aside, and the storm resided. They were good. It worked out for them. But what happened is a big fish came and swallowed up Jonah, and he was in the belly of that fish 4 days. And once he was in the belly of that fish, he was forced to sit and reflect. And in that time, he was repentant for his disobeying the Lord. And when he repented and he was crying out to the Lord caused him to be spit up from the belly of that fish. And when he was spit up, the Lord spoke to him. And the Lord gave him the same command that he ran from in the first place, which was, "Go to Nineveh and tell him what I'm telling you to tell him." And this time around, because he was repentant, remember, y'all, repentant isn't just feeling guilty and recognizing you did wrong. Repentant is a change of heart, meaning you can no longer defend that thing, which means that you're going to start taking different actions. Okay? So this time, because Jonah was repentant, he agreed And he went and he did what God told him to do. And we see that the people of Nineveh believed him. And because they believed him and they repented, God decided to spare them in that time period. And then we see that Jonah goes and gets salty. He's upset that God spared them. He was like, see, I told you this was what was going to happen. I knew I was going to come here and waste my time and say all this stuff. And then you were just going to spare him anyway. And God used that as a little bit of like a teaching moment where God gave him some shade from like a leaf. And the next day that leaf was gone and Jonah started getting, oh, I might as well just die. Lord, why'd you take this away? And God was kind of getting real with him of, why are you so upset that I took that away when you never had to work for it in the first place? That wasn't your leaf. That was my leaf. I was just allowing you to use it. Why are you mad? Why are you mad? And like, you know, that was just a time of revealing Jonah's heart to him and God using that as a moment to work on him. And I related, when I was talking to those people the other night, that to the book of Jeremiah, because we see in the book of Jeremiah that God's people have become rebellious. They are idolizing. They are really putting their fleshly desires number one. They are doing a lot of things that they shouldn't be doing. They're listening to false prophets. They're listening to a lot of false prophets. We have a problem modern day now with a lot of false prophets. Speaking from personal experience, y'all, I was a tarot card reader. We see it in the mediums. We see it in the psychics. We see it in the astrologers. We see it in the horoscope readers, the natal chart people. We see it in the tarot readers, oracle card readers. We see it in the people who are saying that they're speaking from the Lord, but if you held what they said to the Bible, it does not match scripture whatsoever. It goes against the word of God. We see a lot of people doing a lot of that. Just as prevalent as it was back then is prevalent now. And these people in the book of Jeremiah were putting their faith in those false prophets and what they had to say. They were putting their faith in their own works and their own things. And you know, every so often, they would go and have like a short repentance where they would go and say, okay, yeah, what I did was wrong or what I did was bad, but they would always turn right back to what they did. You know, they didn't actually have a change of heart. They weren't actually pursuing the relationship with the Heavenly Father. You know, once they felt like they were in the clear, they would go back to doing what they were doing before. And God, like literally the first 30 chapters in the book of Jeremiah, y'all, is just the Lord warning them, saying, stop doing this, stop doing this. The Lord sent them multiple prophets. He sent them Jeremiah, which was like the final prophet before all this stuff started going down crazy. And God was just sending them warning after warning after warning, time after time after time, saying like, if y'all don't turn from this, I am going to allow your enemies to conquer over you. I'm going to allow your land to be taken from you. I'm going to allow you to be dispersed. You're going to have to serve these other people. And it's going to be a long time coming back. Like, God is warning them, saying, y'all are going to lose everything if you keep doing this. Y'all are going to lose it all. Yet they didn't listen. Instead, they chose to listen to the false prophets, because at the same time that God was sending them prophets saying, what you're doing is wrong, repent, you need to deny your flesh, you need to put first, you need to put God first and put yourself second. Don't be taking the shortcuts, don't be taking the easy ways, don't be taking the idolatry ways, don't be giving to greed, don't be giving into lust, don't be giving in to all of this false stuff, and put your faith in the Lord, or you will be destroyed. God is showing you grace and mercy right now, but he's not going to show you that grace and that mercy forever. That will run out. But then they had false prophets in their ears saying, no, God loves you. God loves you in everything that you're doing. Continue doing this. You're going to be totally fine. Your enemies aren't going to conquer over you. Like, God's grace is never going to run out. God's mercy on you is never going to run out. You can continue doing what you're doing. You have a reason for it. I'm paraphrasing right now. But these were the voices that they had. They had the voices that were telling them straight up biblically. But it had an ending that they didn't want to hear of. If you continue down this path, there is destruction afoot. And then they had another voice saying, no, keep doing what you're doing. God loves you. He won't allow that to happen. He won't allow this to happen. You're good. Keep doing it. It'll work out in your favor. And they put their faith in those voices because those voices didn't require them to change. Those voices didn't require them to do better. Those voices told them what they wanted to hear. Those voices comforted their flesh. And we know from reading scripture that the flesh and the spirit are enemies. What your flesh wants to do, your spirit does not want to do. What your spirit wants to do, your flesh does not want to do. And we know that Jesus has said multiple times to deny yourself. We need to take up our cross and follow him. Jesus never says, entertain the flesh, satisfy the flesh. He says, deny the flesh. Deny yourself. He who loses his life will save it. Jesus told that rich man, if you want to follow me, sell everything you own. And that man was not willing to do that and turned his back. These people in the book of Jeremiah listened to the sweet voices that told them everything they're doing is fine. They're perfect the way they are. It's all defensible. You're good. Everyone else is just a liar. And because they continued to listen to those lies and put their faith in those lies, they ended up having to serve the Babylonians. They ended up being split. They ended up having all of that time. But we see that the mercy and the grace of God in the book of Jeremiah, where he allowed this to happen in hopes that one day they would turn to the Lord. Because once they were in this low, low place, now they need a savior. And now their hearts are finally humbled enough to say, okay, my way isn't the best way. I'm going to turn to God. Because when they were able to continue doing what they were doing and trying to make things work for themselves, they didn't need God like that. So God allowed them to be putting themselves into a position through their rebellion that they needed him. And once they did that, he could have their heart again. So there is still redemption in that story, because we do see after the book of Jeremiah that God eventually does rebuild the temple and he does take the Babylonians out of that place of power. But what has to happen is the humility and the humbling of their hearts. And I want to share with y'all from personal experience, and there's still some more scripture that I'm going to read with you, that that is what the Lord did to me. I turned away from him, y'all. I believed I was turning my back on the church because I was raised going to church, and I was raised in more of, in Catholicism, there are a lot more religious requirements than maybe like a non-denominational, which I attend now. And in my mind, I was really more in religion than I was in relationship. And when I look back, I didn't have that solid relationship with Jesus. I didn't view him as a savior. I didn't view myself as someone who truly needed saved. Did I view myself as a victim? Yes. But I defended everything I did, and I didn't see the things I was doing that were sinful as sinful. I viewed myself as needing a savior from other people, but not needing a savior from myself. And that was the real big problem. Which that was, when you look back, kind of the Jews' problem, right? When Jesus came, was they were looking at the Messiah as someone to save them from the Romans and save them from other people. But Jesus came to save them from themselves. And they refused to believe that they needed a savior in that way. They wanted the savior that was going to come through and take out Rome and elevate them. And when I look back now, I'm like, dang, that's what I was looking for. Because, y'all know I grew up in addiction, and I grew up around like a lot of narcissistic behaviors, and there was a lot of emotional manipulation. There was a lot of in my friends and in my relationships, and I felt like I was constantly getting taken advantage of or suffering or made to hurt in all these different ways. And I viewed myself as a victim of a lot of unjust things. And there were a lot of things I faced that were harsh and traumatic, and that I empathize with other people when they experience that. And after a long period of time, I didn't realize, but a lot of that started to turn into anger that I directed at God and misunderstanding of why. Why would you let that happen? How is this good? How are you going to use this for my good? How is this? How is that? And my view of the world slowly started being a warped situation where I just viewed everyone else as the enemy and me as a helpless victim. And of course, I wasn't perfect, but I had a reason for why I do everything else. And when I really took myself out of the bubble, I realized that that is everyone else. Everyone else can make up that same justification. When I'm sitting here thinking I am the biggest victim in the world, boo-hoo, this person did this thing to me, I'm sure they're sitting there thinking, well, I did it for this reason. I have this pain, I have this trauma, or I needed this to be done. I needed this. And it makes me think of, forgive and judge to the measure that you want to be judged. And the Lord really had to get real with me on that one this past year, where it was like, I'm making up all these excuses for myself. Why can't I make up these excuses for other people? Why is everyone else as the bad guy, but I'm the one with a reason I'm the one with the justification. But I'm telling y'all that the source of my rebellion was I felt like there was a lack of justice and a lack of control in my life. I felt like I was dealt with unjustly, and I felt like God wasn't dealing the justice. I didn't even see it that way because I wasn't going out trying to hurt people. That wasn't my way of trying to get justice, but I was trying to avoid the constant cycle of pain. That's why I turned to divination. That's why I started putting my faith in that, as I felt like I had information that could help me avoid painful situations and that I could just uplift myself. And I also felt like I could use that as a career path to help other people too. But I see that those desires and those needs were deeply rooted in a past history of like feeling like I had dealt with things unjustly. And that was also why I stopped giving things to God, or I never fully tried to give things to God, is because I felt like He wasn't dealing with it the way I wanted to deal with it, and because I didn't understand His ways and I didn't understand what He allowed. And I turned my back on Him, y'all. I've shared that testimony of when I had that meditation, and I said, I'm gonna, because once I got into New Age spirituality, I started learning about other, I'm using quotation marks of other deities. I now recognize that these are all just demonic spirits. If it's not from God, who's it from? It's demonic. Okay, but at that time, I viewed them as deities. I was interested in learning about them, and I was interested in learning about the meditations and all these different things, and how you're your own manifester and you're in control of everything. And as someone who I had felt like a whole lack of control throughout my life, New Age spirituality to me was like, oh my gosh, I can have control. I can create things. I can do this. I can do that. I don't have to like wait on someone else's timing. I can just do it whenever I want to do it. When I look at it now, like New Age spirituality, y'all, there's fruits of the spirit. New Age spirituality is like anti-fruits of the spirit. God has really been developing self-control in me. New Age spirituality is like the lack of self-control, because what brought me in was the fact that you can manifest it like that. You can create it like that. That's what a lot of witchcraft is, because witchcraft is about control and doing what you want to do and executing your will. At the root of it, witchcraft is executing your will over God's will. And that is rooted in impatience. That is rooted in a lack of joy. You don't have true joy or gratitude for what God has already done in you or is doing in your life, and you're trying to bring in more, create more. Really, witchcraft and New Age is like anti-fruits of the spirit. Now, I'll say that the Lord was developing the fruits of the spirit in me while I was still in New Age, and I've talked about that very over time. But what draws you in? I've heard it in my testimony and a lot of other people's testimonies. At the root of it is seeking something that is not Christ-like, that is not fruits of the Spirit. You're so sick of waiting on God's timing. Witchcraft provides for you your own timing. You're so sick of waiting on answers. Well, this provides for you. You can go seek out whatever answers from the demonic sources that you're going to. I rebelled from the Lord, y'all, because I did not understand His ways. I was angry and I blamed Him for the bad things that happened in my life. And I felt like I had been a victim most of my life, and this was my opportunity to create my own happiness and do what I wanted to do. And I felt like I wasn't hurting anybody and all of these things. There's a really popular celebrity that I really used to look up to. And like, I loved her a lot. I listened to all of her music. Like, I knew every one of her lyrics. And, the past couple. The past year especially, I've really started recognizing, because I know she used to adamantly call herself a Christian. And when I wasn't reading my Bible, when I wasn't listening to my discernment, when I didn't truly have a relationship with Christ, anyone could have told me they were a Christian and like quoted some scripture, or done some nice things, and I would have believed them. And now I'm seeing more like the Lord has really helped me to see and discern. And I pay a lot more attention to people's words and the way that they live their lives. And this artist, I used to love her music. And last year I started listening to a new album that she had. And there were so many songs that were just straight nods to witchcraft, where it was undeniable. And I felt a real conviction listening. I couldn't listen to his songs anymore. There was one where she was talking about having cards laid out on a table. And talking about the fool, and the fool is the beginning of the tarot, and is the beginning. It's called the fool's journey in the tarot card, like in the major arcana. And she was talking about being gathered with a coven around a sorcerer's table. And I noticed some people, those are play on words, But to me, as someone who is in New Age spirituality, and that was my life, the fact that she could use those words in those ways, and throughout that was talking more about prophecies, throughout more songs, prophetic words. And I start noticing even in past songs where she's talking about a lot of deals with the devil and a lot of different things like that, where I'm really starting to recognize that, Satan knew scripture too. And we know that he quoted scripture and twisted scripture too. He did that to Jesus. And you can't be lukewarm. And I felt really convicted listening to that, where it was like I could tell that maybe she had one foot in, but there is definitely one foot out. And these were not glorifying the Lord lyrics. And we know that it doesn't matter how many works you do, that does not mean that you have a relationship with the Heavenly Father. And there was a new album that like recently came out that I couldn't even listen to like three songs further. I tried to give another chance, and I couldn't do it. Y'all, I just had to pause and take a moment because I needed to regroup with the direction we were going in, and just letting the Holy Spirit guide me back. And the root of where I was going with this is there are so many influences out there right now that seem to be Christ-like, that actually lead you very far away from the Lord. Because with example, if I started listening to every one of these songs or every one of these lyrics, or even maybe looking more at the way this person lives their life, when it comes to maybe some of the good works that they do, sure, I see the good works, but in the messages that are being spread at the root, are they glorifying God or are they glorifying self? And it's so easy to be led away and led astray by things that sound similar to scripture, or by people who say that they're rooted in scripture. And there's a personal testimony I'll share with that in a minute. But where I was going at was I was listening to an interview with this person the other day because they had just recently had a new an album, and they had said in this interview that you can create your own happiness. And like that was an immediate red flag. And I know that a lot of people would probably hear that and on the surface level defend that, because that is the day and age that we're living in, is put yourself first, do what makes you happy, YOLO. I grew up in the era where everyone was saying you only live once, YOLO, young, wild, and free, do what you want to do, just pursue whatever makes you happy. But that's not what scripture says. Scripture says to deny your flesh. We know that joy will be found when you seek first the kingdom of heaven. That will be added on to you. And as someone who spent my entire life trying to create happiness for myself, seeking it in the world, seeking it in relationships, seeking it in money, seeking it in trips, seeking it in vibes and all these things, and I would find some real high highs and some really good feeling moments. But eventually there is a dissatisfaction, and there is a you need more, or you need different, or you need something else. But I have never had that once I started finding my joy in Jesus Christ. Now, that's not saying that I'm completely satisfied with every situation in my life, but there is a joy that doesn't run out. There's not those low crashes. There's not those depleting, because I know that I am rooted in the Lord. And I've heard so many other Christians share that testimony, and we know that that is scriptural. We know that Jesus is the light, that he is the source of all things good, and happiness is a good thing. And when I was listening to that, like I just it, my heart like hurt for so many people that I know are listening to that and will take that, because you cannot create your own happiness. But it's just simple things like that that don't feel too harmful, that just feel like a simple idea, that when you are actually starting to take root in that and pursue that, you're going to find yourself in a direction that is not leading you towards Christ. Because pursuing Christ isn't pursuing ourselves or pursuing our own desires. It's pursuing being more Christ-like, seeking first the kingdom of heaven, setting your mind on the Heavenly Father, and pursuing that, and all of these other things will fall into place. And I'll tell y'all that when I was taking step after step after step into New Age, I was listening to voices that at times sounded Christ-like. When I was eating up, there was a I'm doing quotation marks, prophetic person. I was eating up the things that they were saying on TikTok, y'all. Like I loved to listen to their words, and they would call them channeled messages. I didn't see them with a tarot card. I didn't see them with an oracle card. The things that they were saying would sound very accurate, and they were always giving God. They were saying, God told me, God said this, God spoke this. And because I knew that prophets were a thing, I believed to have a prophetic gift myself from the Lord. But I wasn't scriptural based. I wasn't holding these things to scripture. I wasn't praying to God, is this person from you? I wasn't looking deeper. I wasn't testing the spirit. And I was eating up the things that this person was saying. And they weren't the only voice I was listening to. But when I think to my Book of Jeremiah moment, I was listening to that false prophet that was giving me comfort because they were telling me, keep doing this and do this and do this. And like, you know, God's so pleased with you and you're going to have blessing in your life and you're going to. All of these things and all the people doing wrong me were going to be struck down, like all of these things. And I was just so adamantly believing, yep, this is a prophet from the Lord. But then, you know, I was also listening to tarot readers and other people, and I was doing my own readings and my own meditations and things like that. And when I gave my life to the Lord and I stopped listening to all those voices, in general, like I shut out any kind of prophetic word, any kind of anything. I shut down all my social media. Like I was trying to avoid anything and only communing with God through a prayer, and scripture reading. And he actually really had to work on me to get me open to, even entertaining the idea of how he does send people with prophetic words, because I had a lot of trauma in regards to that. And I had to recognize and realize that I was listening to someone who wasn't from the Lord. And the more I was praying to the Lord, like to reveal things to me, the Lord started revealing this person to me. And this person actually married a very popular witch on TikTok, like who does a lot of love spells and all these witchcraft things and does a lot of tarot card reading. And this person actually started selling a lot of TikTok tarot readings and oracle card readings, and became and started selling spell work where they do protection, but like label it saint work and different things. And the Lord openly revealed to me that this person was in witchcraft, and that this person was in divination. They were heavily, and that was a really big confirmation. Glory be to God that He revealed that to me. And but I started looking back, and I started realizing if I would have been biblically literate, if I would have prayed for an understanding of the Lord, I would have seen that a lot of things that this person was encouraging me to do were things that were of the flesh and were things that were fleshly desires, and things that so clearly, although they sounded good to the ears, when I held them up to scripture, they were not Christ-like methods and Christ-like ways. I wasn't always being told to go hurt other people, but I was being told consistently to exalt myself and to put myself first, and just being okay to continue in divination and continue in tarot reading and continue in crystals and all that kind of thing. I wasn't being told to go in the other direction, right? And if that was from God, I would have been told to put down the divination. I would have been told to put down the witchcraft. I would have been told it doesn't matter why you're doing it, you shouldn't be doing it, point blank, period. And the Lord had to really reveal to me that I had been listening to a lot of other voices in that rebellion. And I'm not blaming my decisions on those people at all. I made the decisions that I made. But the voices that you're listening to are so important. And testing the spirit behind the voices that you listen to is so important, because sometimes these messages are so small and you think, how can this be hurtful? How can this lead to separation? And when you start implementing that in your daily life, you see just how much separation that can create. Y'all trying to create your own happiness, trying to do something, you are not going to be able to do that. Scripture tells us that Jesus is the vine, the Father, the vine dresser, and we can do nothing apart from Him. We cannot have endless happiness, endless joy, endless love if He is not the source, if He is not what we are tapping into. We cannot create that for ourselves. You might be able to find a temporary high, but there is going to be a crash. There is going to be a low. There is going to be a lack. There is going to be a seeking for more, a needing more, if you are not founded and rooted in Jesus, if He is not pouring into you. And I want to say today, too, if you have found that you are in a position right now where you are trying to do things apart from Him, you can go to Him and start working with Him any moment, any hour. Do it. I did it. Y'all, I spent years starting to develop and cultivate and grow a new age tarot reading thing for myself. social media platform, all of those things. And when I realized that all of that was apart from him, and I listened to what he wanted me to do, obviously I was called to shut it down. I deleted the courses I had. I deleted all the videos. I deleted the email accounts, like anything that glorified tarot reading and all of that. And the Lord helped me to build something new hand in hand with him. This podcast alone is something that I honestly didn't consider pursuing myself, but building it with the Lord step by step. I'm telling y'all today that rebellion, turning from the Lord because it's not what you want to do, it feels good to the flesh to do what you want to do, whatever reasons might be. Something deeper and more painful where you feel like something is just so unjust, or because you can't understand why this thing was allowed to happen, or because you can't grasp this thing, why he would allow this, you want to rebel and go in the other direction because you feel like, well, you've been trying and you haven't seen the works. I'm gonna be real, y'all. I used to say that. I used to say, well, I tried the Jesus way. I tried. But did I really, though? Because the whole time I was going to church every Sunday. But I was still fornicating. I was still having sex before marriage. I was still cussing all the time. I was still gossiping about people. I was still putting myself around people that were not pursuing a relationship with the Lord. I was having bad influences. Bad company corrupts good morals. I was still idolizing things. I was still idolizing jobs. I was still idolizing money. I was still idolizing substances. I was still willfully sinning in a lot of different areas in my life, finding reasons to defend it. I wasn't praying to the Lord every day. I wasn't denying the flesh. I wasn't truly trying to surrender my way to the Jesus way. I wasn't seeking him in scripture. I wasn't doing any of that. Yet I said, well, I tried the Jesus way. I tried his way. Well, I've been patient. I pray every so often, Lord, but I wasn't doing what he was telling me. That's the thing, y'all, is communication. Prayer is a conversation with the Lord. And yes, you can talk, but you also need to listen. And when the Lord gives you an answer, you have to deny your flesh and accept that answer. When he calls you to something, you say yes. And that was my biggest problem, is when he would call me to things, I wouldn't want to say yes because I didn't immediately see how it would all pan out, and I didn't have it all spelled out to me because it might make me uncomfortable or because it might take a little bit longer. I didn't want to take that way. I wanted the fast-paced way. At the root, the rebellion I was in was selfish. Rebellion is selfishness. And it is not going to lead you anywhere but separation. It doesn't matter what you gain on this earth if you lose your soul. And I want to share with y'all some scripture of someone who had it all and in rebellion lost it all. And his name was Saul. You know, the people were getting, the Israelites were asking God, we want a king, give us a king. They themselves demanded a king, and God finally said, okay, fine, I will pick a king for you. And God chose Saul. And this is talking about rebellion. There is so many different we can see so many different examples of rebellion in the scripture. And Saul's rebellion was one where God placed him in that high place. At one time, he had God's favor. He had God's anointing. God had chosen him. But in his rebellion, he lost the favor. He lost the grace. He lost the mercy. And eventually, he lost it all. He lost his life. Because we see Saul. Saul is put as king. And God is giving him orders. And I'm paraphrasing y'all the story off of memory. But Saul was ordered by the Lord to go and take out the enemies, saying, God is going to be with you. Take them out. Do not take anything for yourself. Leave it all. Destroy it all. Kill it all. And Saul disobeys that. Saul does partial obedience. He goes and conquers the people. He goes and conquers all of that and lays people out like God told him to take the land, to take the people. But then he starts seeing some material things that look really good to him. You know, the sheep, the animals, those things are looking really good to him. There's some material things are looking really good to him. And he's like, I'm actually going to take the best of these. But his way of defending it and like pushing off was saying, but I'll use them as offerings for God. So they're like, not mine, they're God's. But we're going to go ahead and take these. And then there were some lives that he spared that he was not called to spare. He was taking people prisoner instead. And God had sent a prophet to talk to him saying, you blatantly disobeyed. You are blatantly in rebellion. Partial obedience is still disobedience. And Saul had multiple instances of partial disobedience or like full disobedience. He chose to people please instead of doing what God called him to do. And we know from reading scripture time and time again that if you are doing things the Jesus way, the world is going to hate you. Jesus told us that a lot in the New Testament. We see it in the Beatitudes, right? Blessed are you when you're mocked, reviled, persecuted for my sake. We know scripture tells us that you are not going to be more beloved than your master, than the person that came before you, than your teacher. If we are doing things the Jesus way, the world is going to hate us. They might call us ignorant. They might call us judgmental. They might call us mean. They might call us cold. There's going to be a different way to spin it out of every mouth. But the world is going to find a reason to not like you when Jesus is being shown through you. Okay, but we have to make the conscious decision to choose the Jesus way anyway, to choose God's way, even if that means that there are going to be people who persecute us, who mock us, who hate us, who lie about us, who slander us, who do all of these things. But there's that option that the flesh wants so bad, which is to just people please. And to water it down and to start making compromises and start getting lukewarm just to keep everybody happy and to limit the drama and limit the conflict and sing kumbaya. And there are a lot of people who give into that. I'm one of those people who gave into that for the longest time. For the longest time. And that is not what the Lord calls you to do. Love, that's not, we like to, the world masks that as well. Keeping everybody comfortable in that way is actually the best way to love somebody. And that's actually the kindest thing you can do. If you're going to show kindness, Christ-like love, and Christ-like kindness, that's the way. And I used to believe that, but that's not true. That's not true. Because sometimes the most loving thing you can do is say that this is a sin and you need to break away from that, is calling it out when the Lord tells you to call it out. The most loving thing you can do is show an example of how Christ lived set apart. He spoke with sinners, he dined with them, he sat with them, but he was not them. He did not copy them, he didn't blend in with them, he led them away, he didn't fall into it. Okay, and Saul had two different directions he could go in. Is he going to people please his kingdom? Or is he going to do what God told him to do? Because God gave him that position. So the only person who's going to be able to take him out of that position is God. But in his mind, he started treating it as if the people put him in that position. He started bending to the people's will. He started bending to his own fleshly will, his own fleshly desire. We see in the book of Solomon, we see King Solomon. Okay, King Solomon had a problem with that too, right? A bending to the will of people. He bent to lust. A lot. And when you bow to the people instead of God, you got a real problem there. Because that's what he started doing. He started bowing to his own flesh. He started bowing to the people instead of God. And God put him there and God took him out. He, and I know we're speaking in retrospect, he should have remembered that since God put him there, the only person that will take him out if he is continuing to obey the Lord is the Lord. That the people, it doesn't matter whether they are mad, salty, happy, whatever, they aren't going to take him out of somewhere that God has appointed him to be. But since he decided to continue on in his own messy mess and his rebellion, for whatever reasons he justified, he recognized that his time as king was going to come to an end. And it was made clear to him that God's favor on him as a king was no more. And God showed his favor to David and anointed David to be king one day. And we see how Saul was doing the most at David, was throwing spears at him, was talking crap to him, was plotting, scheming, scamming, how he was chasing David down, trying to take him out. Jealousy, envy, all of these things. Because once he knew that he lost the favor of God, his eyes were looking out of who's God raising up to take my spot, and how can I take them out? That's what his mind was set on. And I want to read to y'all just a little bit from 1 Samuel that calls out rebellion. Okay? This is 1 Samuel in chapter 15, and this is where the Lord rejects Saul. And we're going to start at verse 19. It says here, "Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you pounce on the soil and do what was evil in the sight of the Lord?" And Saul said to Samuel, "I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me. I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have devoted the Amalekites to destruction. But the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen, the best of the things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God and Gilgal." And Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and presumption is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king." Y'all, for rebellion is as the sin of divination. Your rebellion is just as bad as witchcraft. Rebellion is just as bad as witchcraft. Witchcraft is your own control. Executing your will over God's will, that is what rebellion is. It doesn't matter your reason. And rebellion will always lead to loss of relationship with the Heavenly Father. It will always lead to separation. And I'm speaking from experience, y'all. When I, even though my life wasn't amazing, and I was, because when I started listening to the New Age direction, y'all, I started seeing like my life falling into pieces. Things that used to just work out, even though things seemed to be working out, I wasn't having as much blessing as I used to be seeing. And after I hit that time of when I openly kind of turned from the Lord and turned to New Age, turned to other deities, turned to witchcraft, turned to divination, turned to all those things, I started seeing real fallout like I had never seen before in my life. Like in the past, yes, weapons formed against me, but I guess those weapons weren't always prospering. Eventually they would fall. I would really feel the damage because I wasn't living a life surrendered to Christ. I wasn't really being covered in the blood of Jesus. I wasn't standing in my authority. I wasn't handling things in the Christ-like way, meaning that I was getting partial results. If I'm not truly submitted or surrendering to the Lord, of course I'm not gonna get the expected results, right? If you're 1 foot in and 1 foot out, you can expect that with the results. But when I was both feet out, man, the weapons appeared to be prospering. I had seen pain and just suffering and loss like never before. I was made to be in a position where finally I looked around and I was like, you know what? My own works got me to this point. New Age spirituality, listening to all these voices that aren't from the Lord got me to this point. And I have two options now to continue down this path. And I'm just putting on band-aids, and it's gonna get worse and worse, and I'm gonna be on this hamster wheel. Or I can submit my will to God, and even though His ways aren't my ways, give Him my heart and watch what He does. And when I chose that path, He showed me grace and mercy and love, and He has rebuilt my life. He has done things that I could never do for myself. He has opened up doors, He has given me revelation, He has done things. You would not be able to tell I went through what I went through if I wasn't telling you the testimonies. And I'm here today to tell you that that is where rebellion will lead you. It's not an if, it's a when. If you are turning from the Lord to turn to these things, it's not a, are you going to suffer? Are you going to be turned over? It's when are you about to suffer? And when are you going to be turned over? And it's what are you going to do when you get there? So many people, you can hear so many people who have rebelled, went through suffering, and then turned to the Lord will tell you the same thing that I'm telling you. There are so many people in the Bible where you can see where their rebellion leads, where they're putting themselves before the Lord leads. It makes me think of, and it's been a while since I've read the scripture, I believe it's in the book of Acts, where there's a husband and a wife, and God has, he's taking care. This is after Jesus has already went to the cross, resurrected, ascended into heaven, and his apostles, his disciples are going around and just spreading the gospel and doing the works of the Lord, and they're trusting on God to provide when it comes to their finances. And God is working, stirring up the hearts of people around them to sell portions of their land or sell parts of their businesses and bringing the money to the apostles, to the disciples. And there is a husband and a wife who sell a portion, and they have a load of money, and they decide in secret to lie, basically to lie to the disciples and say, oh, we actually only made this much. So that way they could keep a portion for themselves when they knew that that wasn't what they were supposed to do. That was their act of rebellion. And the husband came up first and spun the lie and said that to him, and God struck him down. He died right there. And he was carried out. And then his wife, a couple hours later, came in and said the same thing. And the Lord struck her dead right there for lying and going against what God told them to do. And again, I'm just quoting off a of memory, but one of the disciples had said back to them, they were like, before we came, this land just sat idly, and you weren't selling it. No reason, like you were just chilling day by day, and now all of a sudden that God wants you to do something with it and give the money, now you want to keep it, now there's something you want with it, now there's. And that was a self-reflection moment for them. Look at Judas when he rebelled and when he betrayed Jesus. Look at where he ended up, not repenting. We see time and time again in the Bible that rebellion is going to lead you nowhere. And a lot of us choose to only worry about what we can get here in the flesh, just here in the world, because we don't see eternity. So that's part of the thing about faith, is walking by faith. We don't see with our eyes right now everything that happens when we die. We don't see eternity with the Heavenly Father, and we don't see eternity in separation. So we just think about what can we get now that keeps us comfortable now? What can we do now that keeps us satisfied now? What can we do now? And when you're seeking first the kingdom of heaven, when you're doing things the Jesus way, you're not thinking so much about this life. You're thinking about the next. You're thinking about the Heavenly Father. So a lot of things that we're doing here and now aren't meant to get us ahead here and now, but they're meant to further the kingdom of heaven. When you're looking at the world, you're looking at just right here and now. You're looking at maybe 2 years in the future, maybe 3 years in the future, but you're not doing things for eternity. Someone needs to hear this scripture today, and I'm pulling this out of the depths of my mind right now. Jesus had once told a man, let the dead bury the dead. And there's a man that wanted to follow Jesus, and Jesus said, yeah, you can follow me. He's like, but hold on, let me go bury my father first. And he's like, no, let the dead bury the dead. Saying, don't worry about that worldly thing. Right now, we're worrying about the spirit. Come follow me. So I'm speaking to y'all today who are in active rebellion, who maybe right now the Lord has been pulling at your heart and you've noticed him trying to talk to you. Do not ignore God. Don't do it. I did it. And look at where I ended up for a time period. I was living in my car in the desert with no money to my name, unsure of if I was going to have food to eat the next day, with my enemies conquering over me, with people mocking me, with people making fun of me, with people online stalking me and harassing me, with lies on my name that were crazy. No friends I was talking to. I wasn't talking to my family at the time. I couldn't even pay to go take a shower or anything. Like I felt like I had lost everything. And that was where rebellion got me. Because so many good things I had in my life before then, I didn't realize were gifts from God. So when I turned my back on him, he took those things away. And I am warning you today that in your rebellion, that is what is going to happen. I used to say, no, not me. No, not me. I have good intent. God won't do that to me. If he really loves me, he won't do that. He won't do that. Those are the fake voices. And we see that from the book of Jeremiah. And I remember at that time when I was really in my scripture every day, and this was a weird period of time where I was trying to leave behind tarot reading. And I was trying to seek first the kingdom of heaven and going all in with that. And I remember the Lord putting it on my heart. This is when the where I was really getting used to hearing from him and putting aside the cards and putting aside all of those things, instead trusting in the Lord and what he was revealing to me. And there were a couple people who at that time were going very hard against me, who were mocking me, who were lying about me, who were trying to keep me from giving my life to Christ. They were taking active steps to keep me in rebellion. They were taking active steps to the big thing is they were taking active steps to prevent opportunities from coming my way. They really wanted me to get worse and worse where I was at. It was like kicking the walls down. It was like twisting the knife that was already in me. And if they had to lie, if they had to deceive, whatever they had to do, they were doing it. And I had felt the Lord really tell me to it was a weird way for me to handle it, because the way I wanted to handle it was to defend myself and put all the truth out there and to like reveal them and expose them and all those things. And God told me to give it to him and trust in him and to have boundaries, but also show the love of Jesus and to warn these people. And this was at least like a year ago now that this had happened. But the Lord had told me to warn, just as he's telling me to warn today. To warn those people about the deception that they were listening to, and that they think that they're protected, and that they think that they're good to keep doing what they're doing, but one day God is going to flip the script and turn it around, and to repent and to turn away from this rebellion before it's too late. And what I mean by too late is before the suffering really starts kicking in, and before they lose the things that were given to them from God. And they have to rebuild again when they turn to the Lord. And I haven't been checking in on those people. I haven't, so I can't tell you where their lives are, like everything that's going on. I don't intend to check in on those people. I don't intend to be watching those people. God's, I did what I was called to do, and I have focused since then on my life. But what I'm saying is, do not ignore the warnings. I ignored the warnings and I suffered for it. And yes, God used all of that for my testimonies, and he used that to teach me. He flipped those around. Like, God is using it all for my good. But I'm saying now, have ears to hear and eyes to see, and humble your heart. Be receptive to the people that the Lord is sending you. I didn't want to be receptive. I looked at all those other people like they were stupid, or they didn't know what they were talking about. I actually looked at some of those people like they were my enemies. When I was in New Age, and like there were some Christians that were just trying to show the love of Jesus to me and just trying to like talk about God to me and everything, I was upset when I realized that they were praying for me. And I was upset that they were doing all these other things, because I didn't want what they wanted for myself. They wanted me to be surrendered to the Heavenly Father, and they wanted me to know the love of Jesus, and they wanted me to live life His way. And at that time, my desires were I wanted to do what I wanted to do. I wanted to live my life my way and all these things. And I could tell that God was hearing their prayers, and I was upset because I was like, ugh. To me, they were evil. To me, they were warfare, because I felt like they were executing their will over mine. And then once I now know the love of Jesus, I was like, oh my gosh, no, I am supposed to be submitted to Jesus, and it is his will over mine. Glory be to God, he worked on their hearts to pray for me. My view has so much been shifted and skewed. Like, now that I am biblically literate, now that I know the love of Jesus Christ, now that I am submitted to it. So I'm a walking testimony today of what Jesus can do in your life when you do submit, because he turned my life around in days. I remember writing down in my journal on, I believe it was September 28th, I give my life to Jesus Christ. I remember that day writing that down, and it was October 8th that I had been miraculously moved back to my hometown, and God had worked a lot of miracles in my life. And I look back and I'm like, oh my gosh, I was less than 2 weeks surrendering And there was a lot leading up to that of me reading scripture. I'm not saying it was, I just wrote that down in my journal and all of a sudden it happened. Because there were leaps of faith of throwing away all my tarot cards, throwing away all my oracle cards. There were opportunities for me to go backwards in that time period that I denied. And there were leaps of faith. It wasn't just I'm saying I wrote it down in my journal and it happened. That's not what I'm saying. But I remember writing down that I submit my life to Christ and then taking the actions and submitting, obeying what he was calling me to do and walking by faith and humbling my heart. And in doing that, within weeks, he was already rebuilding me and he was doing amazing works. So I'm here to tell you that grace and mercy can be shown once you humble your heart. But I'm also here to tell you that that grace and mercy will run out. If the Lord's not able to get through to you in the life you're in now, you best believe he'll allow you to be turned over to the consequences of your own actions in hopes that then you will see that you need God. I pray that this episode blessed you. And I don't want you to feel any judgment in listening to this because I'm telling you that I was in the same boat. But I pray that you hear that I was in the same boat. And to not continue down that path. You know, y'all, those very people that tried to keep me where I was, God still has me praying for these people. Very frequently, he'll randomly bring them to mind for me to pray for them. Pray that they're healed. Pray that they submit their lives to the Lord. Pray that they see the goodness of God. Pray that they submit their ways to his ways. And pray that they become champions for the Lord. I pray that these people have testimonies and that they are used by God in big ways. And if you're looking for somewhere to start, someone might need to hear this today. If you're looking for somewhere to start by praying for your enemies. Start by praying for the people who have persecuted you. Because then that opens the door for forgiveness. And that also really humbles your heart. Praying for someone who's caused you pain and suffering and praying that they are healed and that they are used by God in mighty ways and that they know the love of Jesus and that they are able to show the love of Jesus to other people. Praying that is softening your heart and is humbling yourself. Whether or not you realize it, and that's a really good space to be in, and I recommend you to do that. And I pray that this episode blesses you, and I thank you so much for listening to this episode. I'm your host, Danielle Townsend. This was the Salt Not Sweetener podcast. I do ask that you subscribe to this podcast and share this episode with someone that you feel is needing to hear it. Share with someone that the Lord is putting on your heart to share it with. Share it on your social media. Help me get this podcast out there and help people who need to hear this message, God bless.